Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. What a great song and good singing. Good chapel time with you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Thank you. Amen, amen. Great singing, great singing, great specials. Just a wonderful spirit. And I'm thankful for you. I thank you for steadfastness and serving the Lord. It's a joy, a privilege to be here this morning with you. Thank you, Pastor and staff and House Anderson, for the trust and the confidence to give me the privilege to come up here and preach in chapel. What a privilege and honor, and I'm very humbled that I get to do so. Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm going to go quickly into the message this morning and share a thought with you that hopefully can be a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 10, the Bible says there in verse number 1, I'll read verse 1 to verse 10. The Bible says this, if you'd follow along just by sight, I'll read it out loud. It says, "In that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me unto the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of sheet, tim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made. And there they be, as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jaakan to Mosera. There Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Gudgatha, and from Gudgatha to Jotbath, and land of rivers of waters. And that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee." I want to highlight something that stands out to me in this passage. There's so many rich things to say about everything the Lord is doing with his people. This is the second opportunity that they're given to receive the commandments that were first given to them, where they faltered and they sinned against God. They were new. It was all new to them, and they had a lot of Egypt in them, not saying so as an excuse unto them, but this was the reality of what happened. And we know the story, the first time Moses went up to the mountaintop and God spoke to him and gave him the commandments. And as he was up there with the Lord, the people of God sinned wickedly against God, and he came down and he broke the tablets, and the people had to go in the wilderness, and many died because of it on that day and in the years to come. The consequences would be very severe and real. And now they've gotten to a place where they are ready to receive the commandments once again. And the Lord is preparing them to take the promised land. And And Moses, once again, and you can see in the story of Deuteronomy, how the Lord calls up Moses to the mountaintop and how Moses comes down the mountaintop. And then God calls Moses to the mountaintop. And then something is said here that really caught my attention, and God, I had to just meditate on it, and it helped me, and I hope it helped you this morning. In verse number 10, it just simply says, "And I stayed in the mountain, in the mount, according to the first time." I want to talk to you this morning briefly on the subject, stay on the mountain. Stay on the mountain. Father in heaven, please help me, Lord, as I communicate to these young people. Help me, help my speech, help my memory, help my the ability like that I have, Lord, that you've given to me to remember what I studied, and help me, Father, to be just an instrument that would communicate a message to these young people, Lord, and every one of us. So important, Lord, to stay on the mountaintop with you. Help us, Father, as we preach and as we listen carefully for your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses was up on that mountaintop. He was the only one, the Bible says, that would see God face to face. And we know the story of Moses, his life and his testimony on what God did to get him to that point. He was no perfect guy. He had failed the Lord. He had ran into the wilderness because of failure, because of acting on his emotions, wanting to save his people in the wrong way. And everything we saw in Moses' life and his weakness as far as his fear, he couldn't speak the right way, and he was denying God's will for his life because of his fear of failing and the inability of speaking right. And so many things we can learn from the person of Moses. And even towards the end of his ministry, and how he was just about there 1 year basically away from the promised land. If you can say, we can say that, just one step away from the promised land. And then he gets angry, and he strikes the stone, not like God said to do so. And God forbids him to enter in the promised land. And we can say so much about that, how we need to stay faithful to the end. But this one truth here that I just stood out to me, and how Moses coveted that place, how he stayed there in the mountain. It's almost like as if he didn't want to come down. He had come down before, and the last time he came down, there was brokenness, the heart, and the people had sinned. And then this time, he's up there, and he knows what's at stake. He's heard clearly God's message. He understands. He's matured as a leader. He's seen many die. He knows what's at stake. And he just simply says, "And I stayed in the mount according to the first time." So many times, and so many people that have decided to come off that mountain. And you can see it more now than really in my time serving the Lord. I can see more and more people coming off that mountaintop. And it's heartbreaking. It is. I remember being a kid in elementary school there in Long Beach, California, and they had these big jungle cages that you had to climb up to the top, and we'd play tag on it, and we'd play all sorts of game, climbing on these metal cages to get up on top. And our friends, we'd play, you know, who can stay on top, you know, the longest, and you get thrown down. I remember one time a kid broke his arm. Another time, a kid almost got his eye pulled out of his head. But it was all game. It was part of fun, you know, and we'd fight to get up there and stay on top. And I remember the guy that would stay up there the longest would win. And we didn't get a prize or anything, but it's just the fact that we got to stay up on top, you know. And then I remember also that I forget what they call this, but it is the merry-go-round. And you'd have to stay on, and you'd get guys to spin. How many guys ever done the merry-go-round? and you had to stay on, and you're hanging on with your dear life, you know, and the bigger guys are you know, going around, and I remember times where just you're slipping, and you're hanging on to everything you can, and the person that would hang on the longest would win, right? And it was just fun to know that you hung on the longest, you know. You know, I find that part of what gets us to be faithful to the Lord and to stay in the fight and stay right with the Lord is just to hang on. It's just to keep doing the right thing over and over again. It's just to do what God expects us to do. It's just to stay with Him and stay where He has us to be and not waver, not falter, not change, not look for another option, to just stay on the mountain. Young people, I want to challenge you to just decide to stay on the mountaintop with the Lord. Maybe right now you're not where you're supposed to be. Maybe you've come down off the mountaintop. Maybe you've struggled. Maybe there's been discouragement. Maybe you've heard a lot of noise that discouraged you to come down off the mountaintop. Maybe there's been some discouraging moments in your life. Maybe others have failed you. Maybe others have hurt you. Maybe you've seen things that have discouraged you. Maybe you've failed the Lord. Maybe you've fallen some way or somehow, you've sinned, and you feel unworthy of staying in the presence of God, of staying in the will of God, and you're contemplating leaving the mountaintop. Maybe you're contemplating leaving the call, leaving school, not coming back next semester. You've decided, you've concluded in your mind, your heart, that this is not for you because you failed the Lord. Yet this is a man that had failed the Lord. These are people that have failed the Lord, and God has given them a second opportunity. You see, we serve a God of second opportunities. The just fall a seventh time and he rises up again. And we see it all over the scriptures, how God wants to give us another opportunity. And that opportunity comes by way of staying on the mountaintop. Young people, let me tell you, on that mountaintop, God will provide. He will provide. Notice in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 22. This is the story of Abraham going up to the mountain. Verse number 22. Genesis 22, verse 14. The Bible says this. It says, Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. The Bible says there, it says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This is when God had told him to take his son to offer him as a sacrifice. And God was asking everything from Abraham. He was asking the son, that his only son that he loved and he had. And he was asking him to put him on a sacrifice and offer him. And he knew what he was asking. And he wanted to prove, and he wanted to see what Abraham would do. And as Abraham rose to slay his own son, God then saw that Abraham was fully committed on top of that mountain, and he held his hand as to hold him back and say, don't do it. And he had offered a sacrifice. He had already offered a sacrifice, and Abraham recognized it and he trusted it. He knew that God would offer the sacrifice, that God would give the provide a sacrifice. As he went up to the mountaintop, he told his servants that he and the lad would return. And God never told him that he and the lad would return. He just told him to go offer his son. But Abraham was convinced that on that mountaintop, God would provide. Let me remind you, young people, stay on the mountaintop. God will provide on that mountain. Just stay the course. Stay doing what's right. Stay committed. Stay trusting the Lord. I know others will come down. You'll see it and I'll see it many times, unfortunately so. But you decide to stay on the mountaintop. God will provide on that mountaintop. God will protect you on that mountaintop. Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. The Bible says in verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all thy plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. This is the story of Lot and how the messengers of God came to take him out of Sodom because God was going to destroy it. And they looked to take him to the mountaintop. And we know the story how Lot
questioned these messengers of God, and he decided to go to a different place. And then we saw the wicked sin of his two daughters with him in that one place, where in that cave, where nothing of that should have happened. Had he listened to God and gone towards the mountain, they would have been saved. And listen, I'm trying to tell you that if you just stay in the mountaintop, God will work things out. He will protect you. He will protect what he has done in your life and our testimony. And what God wants in the will of God for our life is so, so valuable, more valuable than anything else in this world, in this lifetime. And God will protect it. God has a special place for us in his will, and it's partly on top of that mountain. Thirdly, God is well pleased upon that mountain. God, we want to please our Lord in everything we do. We want to please him in when we sing to him. We want to please him when we go soul winning, when we preach a message. We want to please him when we're helping someone else, when we're going to church and singing, when we're giving our offerings and tithes. We want to ultimately please him. And what I find is that God is pleased upon that mountain. When we are walking with him, when we are staying in his perfect will and his will close to him, God is pleased there. In Exodus chapter number 3, if you'd go with me there, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 12, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 12. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says there very simply so in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee when I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." God wants us to understand that in just serving him, there's a lot of people that serve the Lord that are not pleasing the Lord. Understand. And I'm sure of it. There's been many times where I've done something or I've been doing something for the Lord, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm doing what's right. I'm pleasing the Lord. But God is not so much interested in our what we do in front of people. He's more interested in who we are before his presence. And so many people that have done so much in the Lord and been busy and doing this and doing that. But then we come to find out they were in sin and they were doing wicked things and terrible things. And you think, how was it then possible? They were serving, they were singing, they were preaching. And all along they were in sin. You see, we can fool each other, but we cannot fool God. God wants to be pleased with our well-doing, but he wants us to please him upon that mountaintop in his presence, in his holiness, and pleasing him. Stay on the mountain, young person. Stay on the mountain. Don't come down. There's people that are coming down from their convictions on how they used to believe. And I like what the Bible says. And he says, and he stayed on the mount according to the first time. You stick with what you know is to be true, what has been taught to you and what has been taught to me. We don't need to change things or look for new ways. Just stay on the mountain like the first time, like the time that you learned and understood how God is and what he expects from us. Bring your levels up to God's standards. Don't come down off the mountain. Don't do what others are doing. Don't follow the norm. Stay on that mountain. It might be just you. It might be just a few people, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't come down that mountain. Stay with the old stuff. Stay with the doctrine. Stay with the good music. Stay with the standard. Number one, stay on the mountain of purity. Stay on the mountain of purity. In today's society, with so much sin available to us through our phones, through TV, through ads, through lifestyles, just blatantly out there in front of everyone, through the message, subliminal messages through the music in today's society, and the musics, in the movies, how they arrange the words in scripts to declare that God isn't so, or not to believe that there's a God in heaven. I'm telling you, it's all over the place. It's so accessible, so easy for good Christians to just fall easily. Stay on the mountaintop of purity. Your purity is the most valuable thing you have. You give that up and that's it. You understand? It's not is not something that you get to. You look at Moses, how he got upset and struck the rock, and God, it displeased God. Now, yes, the people drank water, and you can say, well, it got done, didn't it? I ran the bus route, didn't I? I taught the lesson. Wasn't I pastoring? Wasn't I preaching? Wasn't I doing what was right? Yes, but it didn't please God because there wasn't purity. Understand that God will never jump over purity to give his power. He wants you and I to stay pure. That means in every way, young person, do not give your purity. If you are in an ungodly relationship right now and you're doing things you're not supposed to do, I want to encourage you to repent. I want to encourage you to get back on top of that mountaintop and stay pure and fight for your purity, because once you give it up, you can't get it back. Stay on the mountaintop of purity. I think Moses, to some degree, felt that way. He had done the ark. He had received the tables of the Ten Commandments. He had saw the Lord open up the earth, and those people that die that betrayed the Lord. He had seen those that had died through the desert. He had seen God for who he was. He had seen him face to face. And God and Moses realized it. And it's almost like he said, you know, I don't want to go down. Do I need to go down? Lord, I obey you. But he stayed on the mountaintop of purity. Stay there. It's worth it. The blessings that come because of it. The protection, the power, the opportunities, the privileges. Stay on the mountain of purity. Maybe others aren't doing it. Maybe others have left that mountaintop. Maybe others are doing things that you know about on their phones, on social media. And you know, just keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Don't look at it what others are doing. Just decide to stay on the mountain of purity. Please. Frankly, I'm tired of listening and hearing young people throw away so much ability, so much opportunity, so much blessings that they're losing out on. And you see it in them. You see the talent. You see the gifts that God has given them, the potential that they have in the Lord. And you get excited for it. Like, wow, I can't wait to see this young couple. I can't wait to see them get married right and start serving the Lord. I can't wait to see this young man or this young lady in the ministry. And you get excited for it. And you're like, yes, Lord, please, we need an army to get up and stand for what's right in the old past. And Lord, and then you hear later that they fell, or that they fell into sin, or this and that, and you're like, no, just stay on the mountain of purity. Stay on the mountain of purity. Stay on the mountain of humility. For the sake of time, I won't take you, but God, in the chapter before, in chapter number 9, he's talking to Moses about how he's reminding them on who they were and how he brought them out of nothing. And he said, remember, you were nothing and I brought you through as children. And he tells them, but now, he says, now you think you've become something and you've forsaken that the Lord thy God. You've forgotten what I've done for you and you're full of yourself now. And he says, then thine heart be lifted up. And he starts telling them that just get back to the mountain of humility. When you and I realized we were nothing, that we couldn't even speak right, that we were just in awe of the fact that God would call us and we get to serve God. And I don't expect anything other than just to stay on this mountain with you, Lord. Whatever you want to do with us, I just want to stay near you. Everything is about you and it's not about me. And if God, if I can just stay here with you, if I can just stay close to you, I'm sure that I'm going to get to see things that I can never have dreamed of. But it's not about us, it's about him. And one of the things I see in young people so many times is pride and arrogance, that they don't want to hear from anybody. They don't want to be corrected by anybody. They don't want to submit to the rules. They don't want to submit to what is right. And I'll tell you, that destroys even the best of them. Stay on the mountain of humility. God resisted the proud. It's almost like you trying to get up on the mountaintop and God resists you. God keeps you down and says, no, you're not going to get up here where the blessings are. I want to bless your life, but your pride, your arrogance, your stubbornness, I'm going to resist the proud and give grace to the humble. Stay on the mountaintop of humility. Stay up there. I know it sounds backwards, like you think we're supposed to stay down here in humility. But what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes we're arrogant even in our humility. Somehow we think that we are humble. No, stay on the mountaintop of humility. That humility that comes from God, from doing what's right, from being a willing and able servant, from acknowledging His presence, from listening to the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis, from helping others and serving others and complimenting others and encouraging others. That's a mountaintop. That's up there. That's where God is glorified. And that's the mountaintop I'm trying to remind you of this morning. That mountaintop of humility, of dressing right because this is the right thing to do. That's true humility, submitting to rules and regulations and requirements and being faithful to do what is expected of me. That is humility. And lastly, I'll finish with this. Stay on the mountaintop of number one, purity, number two, humility, and number three, of His presence. There was something about Moses that he experienced up there in that mountaintop. And of all the things that he got to see and witness, and the tablets being written, the commandments of God, and everything that he saw, the presence, the one thing that stands out in this story is that when Moses came down from that mountaintop, everyone knew that he had been in the presence of God. There was something about him that glowed. There was something about him that made him different. And it was because he had been in the presence of God. I stand here ashamed, embarrassed to tell you that. I wish it was more obvious in my life, especially for my wife and my children and anybody I get to be alongside or come alongside. I wish it was obvious that I had been in the presence of God, but I'm ashamed to tell you too many times I find myself doing the work of the Lord down in the valley, down in the grits. There's nothing wrong with getting dirty and doing the things you have to do and fulfilling the things that are a day-to-day, but how many times I've stopped going to the mountaintop, maybe early morning that I'm busy, or a week that's been busy in a conference week or what have you, or whatever, or traveling, and I forget that the single most important thing that I can secure in my life is His presence. I think that's what Moses, that's why Moses said in Exodus chapter 33, was it? In verse 15, when he says, "If thy presence go not with us, don't take us out from here." It was all about His presence. It wasn't about popularity. It wasn't about who was with Him or who applauded Him or if people were on His side or not. It wasn't about anything else but His presence. Do you remember when you felt that way about Him? How if God didn't speak to you through a chapel message, you wouldn't leave this place? You'd go off somewhere by yourself and say, "Lord, what's wrong with me? How come you don't speak to me anymore?" Do you remember how you'd walk in the neighborhood of your bus route and say, "Lord, can you please show me that you're using me? Lord, I'm glad to be part of this bus route. I'm glad to be part of the team. But Lord, more than that, I just want to know that your presence is with me. Could you use me as I preach the gospel, Lord? Can I see, please, that it's you that's with me, and see people get saved, and someone, marriage to be saved, a young person's life to, Lord, I just want to make sure that it doesn't matter who is there, how many people are there. It doesn't matter if I get to preach to 5 or 15 or 500. Lord, can you just show me that your presence is with me, please? I don't care about the money. I don't care about the fame. I don't care about whatever else that might come by this world's way. I just want your presence. I feel like too many times I have to confess that I've come off that mountaintop. And there's nothing more bitter. There's nothing more empty. Frustrating to preach a message, to sing a song, to knock on a door, to make a phone call, to counsel someone, to advise someone, to whatever, without God's presence. I'm afraid of what I can do without his presence. I'm afraid how I can hurt people without his presence. I'm afraid to miss out and get one day to heaven. And God tell me, Andy, what I could have done with your life. What I could have done. But you didn't come to the mountaintop of my presence. You were too busy for me. I'm talking to young people this morning that maybe you've just been too busy. And yes, it takes effort to climb the mountain. But God is helping you and he's waiting for you to come up. He just wants to spend time with you. The message is done. Stay on the mountain. Stay on the mountain. Right where God has you right now. Stay there. Don't come down. Father in heaven, bless this message and the message, what you're working in everyone's heart. Please confirm it. Please help us to listen carefully to your voice and what you would have us to do this Christmas season. And many of these young people going back home, Lord, they're going to face decisions. They're going to face discouragement, doubts, a lot of things, Lord. Please help them to stay on the mountain. Please, Lord.